This morning's New Testament lesson is found in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with grace, his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, it is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This morning's New Testament reading has yet another reference to the mustard seed. We're all familiar with the parable of the mustard seed found in Matthew 17, verse 20, where Jesus says, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." But today's mustard seed parable is about the kingdom of God. It is a message of encouragement. Verse 30 of this morning's gospel reading states, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, it is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Using this parable, Jesus was encouraging the disciples, if a tiny mustard seed can become a great hospitable plant, providing protection for the birds and other creatures of the earth, then know that in due time, your hard work for the kingdom of God will pay off. Note that the parable does not support the idea of tilling the soil, weeding the garden, and caring for the mustard seed as a farmer would care for their crops. Instead, the seed is simply sown upon the ground, and it grows to be a large shrub, providing shelter for God's creatures. God did not intend for us to have to work hard to build the kingdom of God. God's grace is at work within us, through us, and often despite us. I would like to share a story with you that I'm sure some of you have heard. Over the years, it has become one of our family's mantras. Once upon a time, there was an old man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach every morning before he began his work. Early one morning, he was walking along the shore after a big storm had passed and found the vast beach littered with starfish, as far as the eye could see, stretching in both directions. Off in the distance, the old man noticed a small boy approaching. As the boy walked, he paused every so often, and as he grew closer, the man could see that he was occasionally bending down to pick up an object and throw it into the sea. The boy came closer still, and the man called out, "Good morning. May I ask what it is that you are doing?" The young boy paused, looked up, and replied, "Throwing starfish into the ocean. The tide has washed them up onto the beach, and they can't return to the sea by themselves," the youth replied. "When the sun gets high, they will die unless I throw them back into the water." The old man replied, "But there must be tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. I'm afraid you won't really be able to make much of a difference." The boy bent down, picked up yet another starfish, and threw it as far as he could into the ocean. Then he turned, smiled, and said, "It made a difference to that one." Following the attack and collapse of the World Trade Center, September 11th, 2001, Americans bonded together. We started to notice our neighbors, and we began to look out for each other. There was a sense of togetherness, no matter how different we might be. We were united. Remember the sense of pride, the flag-lined streets, house after house displaying Old Glory? Not since the end of World War II had there been such a display of patriotism, of togetherness as a country. Countless number of people grew spiritually as a result of that day. Glenn Winnick died that day, rushing back into the South Tower to get others out. Glenn was a partner in the national law firm Holland & Knight with offices in the South Tower. He was also a trained volunteer firefighter and EMT. After helping fellow employees escape the building, he went back in to help others when he lost his life as the tower collapsed. Glenn's brother Jay and a friend David Payne established the nonprofit known as My Good Deed. My Good Deed is now responsible annually for organizing the 9/11 Day, a day of performing good deeds. It is intended as a positive way for people to always remember to pay tribute to the 9/11 victims, honoring those who rose to service in response to the attacks, and to remind people of the importance of working more closely together in peace to improve the world. In 2009, Congress designated September 11th as a National Day of Service. In 2013, more than 47 million people throughout the U.S. and 150 countries observed September 11th by performing good deeds that help others. Imagine the good that comes out of that just one day. It is those small things, those tiny mustard seed acts of kindness, that can make the greatest difference. December 14th, 2012, Newtown, Connecticut, Sandy Hook Elementary. 20 innocent grade school children and 6 adult staff members were fatally shot that day. Our hearts bled for the victims and their families. How could this happen? Again, Americans everywhere wanted to do something. How could they help ease the pain of the victims' families? Ann Curry, the NBC correspondent, following her report on the horrific events at Newtown, Connecticut, asked herself the question, what can I do? Her answer was performing 26 acts of kindness. She shared that suggestion on social media by writing, quote, imagine if we all committed 20 acts of kindness to honor the lost children of Newtown, or 26 acts, including the heroic teachers. I'm in. A growing number on Twitter are in, hashtag 20acts, hashtag 26acts. What do you think, Facebook friends? If yes, share. To date, there are over 100,000 likes on Facebook. But when I first learned of Ann Curry's 26 acts of kindness, I thought, what a great idea. I thought about it for a while and decided my 26 acts of kindness would be to thank 26 veterans for their service. 26 veterans who were perfect strangers. I didn't want to just walk up to people and ask, hey, are you a veteran? So I chose to thank those veterans who I could identify by their caps. I made a point of approaching them and simply saying, thank you for your service. If I received a puzzled look, I would point to their cap and they realized what I was talking about. I got to somewhere around 19 or 20 and quite honestly lost count. So now I just thank every veteran I can identify. It is a random act of kindness that costs me nothing, but makes the veteran feel good and makes me feel good. As Christians, random acts of kindness should be a way of life for us. And yes, it's a tough world out there today. All the more reason why we have a responsibility to make the world a better place. We cannot allow the evil in the world to overtake us and our actions. We cannot become complacent using excuses why we can't make a difference. As I look around the congregation, I see people who are very involved in the community. We have people serving on various hospital boards, working on Habitat for Humanity, the Library Board, WWO, Rotary, Kiwanis, etc. The list goes on. All very busy helping to make the community as a better place. But what I want to challenge you to do is random acts of kindness. No, I take that back. I want to challenge you to do several random acts of kindness. Do you know that studies have shown that performing acts of kindness can have health benefits, lower blood pressure, reduced stress, and even delayed mortality? Mentally, you become more optimistic, more positive, and overall a much happier person. And perhaps the best news of all, random acts of kindness are contagious. Not only does the doer of the act feel good, the recipient feels good, but anyone witnessing the act feels good and is inspired to go out and perform their own random acts of kindness. I want to challenge each and every one of you to start today, to make random acts of kindness a way of life. And if you have children, I want you to take the time to talk to them about random acts of kindness, because it's never too early to start. Not for just one day, not just 26 times. Make it a way of life. Put a note on your calendar. Start with one act a week and let it grow to 5 or 6 random acts of kindness. And for those of you who are sitting there thinking, what can I do? I'm going to make it easy for you. I have a list. As you look at that list, they're just simply suggestions. Please feel free to come up with your own personal random acts of kindness. Every hour of every day, we have a responsibility to live out Christ's teachings, to show the way. I would like to close with a poem written by Linda Ellis titled, The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears, but he said that what mattered most of all was the dash between those years, for that dash represents all the time that we spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know that what little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.